Good morning. It is time to get up with the Cowboys, where the D in Big D stands for Dalton. And there's one thing you need to know about the way this affects Dak Prescott's contract. Then, last dance, last night, awesome again, with legends like Charles Barkley on the screen. Charles will join us live this morning on Get Up. And what if I told you that this man needs less, not more, to become the greatest of all time? I will, as we get up with you, starting right now. From Bristol, Mike Greenberg here on a Monday, and we hope that you had a lovely and safe weekend. Scott Van Pelt, thank you very much. It was a terrific night last night, obviously, here on ESPN with the most recent episodes of Last Dance, and we will talk a great deal about that after we talk about this. Get up and go. The NFL is on track to release a full 2020 schedule later this week without any major changes due to the coronavirus pandemic. And while the league does have contingency plans, one thing not on the table is bringing the entire league to a centralized location for the season. We'll talk more about it in just a little bit. Elsewhere, the Bears decline the fifth-year option on Mitchell Trubisky for the 2021 season. The former number two overall pick is expected to compete with Nick Foles for the starting quarterback job in Chicago this year. This is important. The Korean Baseball Organization is set to begin its full regular season schedule tomorrow, playing games without fans. Jeff Passan will have more in this hour on what it could mean for Major League Baseball in its attempt to return. The Cowboys made a surprise signing over the weekend, agreeing to terms with free agent quarterback Andy Dalton. It's 1 year, it's $3 million, could be worth up to $7 million with incentives. Dalton expected to back up Dak Prescott, who by now you certainly know was got the franchise tag back in March. And if you're wondering the degree to which this is a competition, well, if you just look at last season's numbers, they aren't particularly close. Dak Prescott had the fourth highest total QBR in the league. Dalton was in the bottom five in both QBR and completion percentage, but sometimes those numbers can be a touch deceiving. Here's my man Jeff Darlington with the very latest this morning. Jeff, what does this signing of Andy Dalton tell us about where the Cowboys stand with Dak Prescott?
Not much, Greeny. Look, we cannot ignore the overshadowing kind of message, the tone that this gives to the Dak Prescott situation, but we need to try at least to treat these two things as separate. Andy Dalton coming to the Cowboys for $3 million, essentially. That's a deal for a backup of his stature, so something that Dallas ultimately couldn't pass up. They're getting a hometown discount on Dalton, a guy who basically just wants to go back to Dallas while he assesses everything and then comes back into free agency next year without the current restrictions on the NFL and on him to try to get with another team. So, by all means, we understand from Dak Prescott's standpoint that signing any quarterback looks a little bit fishy, but now the Cowboys have a backup that's not Cooper Rush, who's thrown three pass attempts in his NFL career. They have a legitimate guy. Certainly, though, I understand why people tie this to Dak Prescott's negotiations.
Of course, and because part of it is that Dak is not taking part in whatever constitutes the virtual portion of the offseason program this year. And let's make sure we explain to everybody that until Dak signs the franchise tag, the Cowboys and Jerry Jones can still rescind it. What would that leave then?
Well, I'll leave a situation where the Cowboys would have to go to Dalton. They're not going to rescind this tag at this point. They want to get this done. By all means, I understand why everybody seems frustrated by this. But for me, it's always been about the deadline. It's always been about midsummer, getting to the point where they can get this tied up by July 15th. If they don't have a deadline, to me, I don't think it gets done. Ultimately, though, I think that with that July 15th deadline, Dak Prescott signs a long-term deal on the final day that guys who are franchise tagged can do so.
Again, to be clear, though, the Cowboys, while very unlikely, in theory, could threaten to rescind the franchise tag, which would leave Dak Prescott, a guy who's never made anywhere near the kind of money that it would pay, in a position where he might be in a strange spot, with every other team basically having made their quarterback decisions. Yes, so I guess the point I'm trying to get at here is less the likelihood of it happening than its value in some sort of negotiation.
Right. No doubt about it. And by the way, like I said, Andy Dalton coming to them at a steal, a bargain. Certainly the Cowboys want to make clear this has nothing to do with Dak. But again, we can all see sort of what that means. Jerry Jones going into the season with Andy Dalton potentially as a starter is a lot different than going into it with Cooper Rush, who I'm guessing for a lot of people are saying, who's Cooper Rush? That's the first time I've ever heard that name in my life.
Yes, and with the signing of Dalton, it's probably the last. All right, Jeff, thank you very much. Well done. We'll get more from you as we continue. Let me get my my guys in here this morning. Dan Orlovsky and Marcus Spears are ready to go. And Dan, the second I saw this on Saturday night, I called you because I was I find this just a fascinating move. How do you read it?
Well, it's a really smart move by the Cowboys. It would have been a smart move by any contending football team that sees, hey, we're a playoff caliber football team. And if our backup has to play one game and win us one game, it's going to be worth whatever amount of money we choose to pay him. But this is also a chess move. I mean, you heard Jeff Darlington talk about midsummer, the July 15 deadline, where if you don't have a deal done long term for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, their only option is the franchise tag. And Dak, before this move, could have held the Cowboys' feet to the fire and said, you're going to give me my long-term deal because you're not going to go into the season with Cooper Rush. Well, now Jerry Jones has certainly gained some power back, because I promise you, Jerry Jones doesn't fear going into the season with Andy Dalton. If you look at Andy Dalton in his first 4 years compared to Dak's first 4 years, they're pretty comparable players. If you look at Andy Dalton since 2015, excluding last year because that team stunk and they were kind of in rebuilding mode with new head coach, Andy Dalton's played some good football over the last 4 years. Winning football. He can go into the Cowboys and win 9 or 10 games with that football team. So now Jerry Jones and the Cowboys have gained some leverage back, and they don't fear July 15 anymore if they have to go into the season with Andy Dalton.
All right, Marcus Spears is a former Cowboy, and you make your home there in Dallas. How's this playing?
It brings me to my point, G. Listen, this is... For a sheer non-overreaction, which I would love to right now, because you know I'm a little bit perplexed with this situation. So Andy Dalton makes a choice to be a backup when there are a couple jobs that we can think of right off the bat that he potentially could have went in and been a starter. Maybe New England, maybe Jacksonville. That being out the way. Andy Dalton brought in, while Dak Prescott has been in a contract situation, whatever, I don't even know what the hell to call it, G, with the Dallas Cowboys for this period of time. Now, obviously, it's insurance. You think about it, it's a prenup. It's like marriage. It's a prenup. Like, we are going to protect ourselves against the possible divorce or the possible split. And this is what this is about. So, for the sake of the going crazy, like I wanted to. Let me just say this, G. And Dan is talking about the backup role, and I agree, and you have obviously insurance. If I was in the locker room and Dak Prescott was the quarterback that I've been around for 4 years, and he's put the type of work in that he's put in with the Dallas Cowboys, and they signed Andy Dalton, who is a 9-year starter in this league, I would look to the guy next to my locker and say, bro, hit Dak up and see what's going on. That would be my initial reaction. So from that reaction, G, I'm telling you that this is more than just being a backup. This is about, if all possible, we go into this season without a deal done with Dak, and it's prolonged this period of time, Andy Dalton is going to be our starter. That's what this is about.
Yeah. Dan, you used the word insurance policy. I just have a moment here, but I guess it could be an insurance policy times two. It's an insurance policy during the season in case of injury, and it's an insurance policy between now and whenever time it is that Dak signs the contract in case it never gets done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll take myself into the locker room like Marcus just did. If Marcus and I are sitting there and they ask us as teammates on Saturday morning, hey, if Dak doesn't show up, are you guys worried? We're going to be like, yeah, man, we're a playoff caliber football team and we're worried. If you walk into that locker room uniformly now and ask that same question today after Andy Dalton, those guys are going to be a lot more confident. Like, yeah, we can go win games with Andy Dalton. So this is a backup plan on the field, but it is very much so a backup plan off the field as well. And Dak is their starter until Dan Graziano and his beard comes on here and tells us something's not going to happen, because all these things continue to happen. And we can say what we want. We can say what we want about this situation, but everything continues to be very odd about it.
No question. None of us would have believed we'd be here May 4th and Dak would still not be signed if we had asked this question months ago. All right, we're going to come back to this and do a lot more on it. But right now, let's do what everyone else in America was doing late last night and into this morning. After episodes 5 Season 6 of Last Dance aired, covering topics that included Michael Jordan's relationship with the late Kobe Bryant, talking about gambling, and how the Bulls won their second and third championships. I'll remind you, you can see any of the first six episodes now on the ESPN app. And I just want to come to you guys here. Swagoo, I'll start with you. Of all the things that we saw in the episodes last night, what was the one thing that stood out to you the most?
Gee, it was amazing again, but the pressure that Jordan felt from the media and the possibility of that forcing him into an early retirement before obviously he came back and did his second three-peat. But I was enamored with not the amount of cameras, you being one of those guys, G, by the way. Mm-hmm. I was just amazed at him talking about, I got to get away from this. I've been knocked off the pedestal. People are starting to talk about kinks in my armor. And thinking about it in this day and age, Jordan had that type of pressure pre-social media. Jordan was like pre-social media. When you think about the attention that he had on him, legit megastar. And for him to go through what he went through and talk about the gambling and the things that people were starting to talk about, and then deciding to retire because of it.
It was remarkable, and having lived through that time, just observing it from up close, you're 100% right. There was no one else in sports, and very few people even beyond sports, who received the kind of attention day in, day out that he did because of the nature of basketball. Dan, what was your biggest takeaway last night?
The chase by Michael Jordan. Like, Michael Jordan had such a creative mind with ways to find his own motivation, to just go try and take people's souls. It's like, oh, you know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who thinks that guy's a good basketball player? All right, now that is, you know, enemy number one. I'm going to go try and whoop him tonight. I mean, Dan Majerle did nothing wrong to Michael Jordan, but he just wanted to whoop him because his general manager thought he was a good basketball player. Like, all these people that, it was like Steve Buscemi's list. Like, all these people that Jordan had on his list that he was going to try and knock off, man. Just activity with motivation. And we just get to, on Sunday nights, sit there and listen to Michael Jordan narrate his destroying of people for reasons that just because they know somebody who thought they were a good basketball player. So just the motivation was my favorite part from last night.
Yeah, it was remarkable. All of that was great. And the other piece of it I would add is that episode 5 last night was dedicated to Kobe Bryant, and it certainly felt different watching it now than it would have had these aired a year ago. But to hear Kobe Bryant say last night, in all intents and purposes, there would never have been a me. I would never have won 5 championships if it hadn't been for Michael Jordan. Seeing that in the wake of what has happened this year was, if that didn't hit you right in the heart, I don't know what possibly could. Anyway, we'll talk more about it as we go, and we'll talk with one of the people who was directly involved in it. Charles Barkley will join us. If he hadn't won the MVP in 93, does he think he would have won the championship that year? We'll ask him that and more. He joins us live 9:30 Eastern today. And should Patrick Mahomes take less money from the Chiefs to ensure they're winners for years to come? One of us thinks he should, and that one is me. I'll explain as we continue. Get up on ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Get Up is brought to you by Creamy Snickers. You're not smooth when you're hungry. All right, Jeff Dullington, my insider extraordinaire. Let's run the hurry up. What are some considerations the NFL is making regarding its 2020 schedule?
Well, Greeny, outside of contingency plans that just think about the planning potentially, if there were to be some issue with the season, the NFL is moving forward. We anticipate later this week the NFL releasing not only its full regular season schedule, but also its preseason schedule. We should point out, though, the league has made very clear that they will not allow teams into facilities until all stay-at-home orders across all states with teams in them are lifted. So this could get very strange very soon.
All right, let's go on the field. What is the market for free agent quarterback Cam Newton?
One of the more underrated storylines in sports right now, Cam Newton not able to find a job at this point and still not much of a market for him. Very different situation from Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton in that Cam Newton is coming off a situation, he's got a lot of injuries, the foot and the shoulder situation. Until the NFL lifts its restrictions due to coronavirus, teams cannot have their doctors look at Cam Newton. I think that's a potential major holdup for teams across the league.
And then there's Patrick Mahomes' next contract. What can you tell us?
Well, last I checked in, things are just fine here. I still don't anticipate we get this done probably until the summer, but I think it will get done before the season. To me, from what I understand, it's far more about the years than it is the money. Patrick Mahomes probably not going to take some 7-year deal when that could wind up looking a little bit weird down the road, maybe not as lucrative as it would look right now. Instead, I think shorter years and massive, massive amounts of money, Greeny.
All right, that's Jeff Darlington with the very latest all around the world of football here. And with that thought in mind, speaking of Mahomes, I want to bring up something we're going to do for you over the course of the next few weeks. We're going to call it Two a Day in the month of May, where we will tackle questions you need answers to looking ahead to the 2020 season. And here's the first one for Dan and Marcus. And Dan, I will start with you. Should Patrick Mahomes take less money than he might otherwise in order to try and help keep Kansas City's roster together?
Yeah, he should. And I think he will, Greeny. I've said that. You can make the case that he shouldn't, but I'll make the case that he should. What's the downside to taking a little bit more money if you're Patrick Mahomes as a player? You're going to make a ton of money in your career. And if you take a little less, the downside is you take a little less. And then the upside is, oh man, I could have another receiver. Maybe we could have another or a third or fourth defensive back. I could have a better backup defensive tackle. Our football team is better. And so I think Patrick Mahomes is one of those players that at the end of his career, we're going to judge his greatness on the amount of rings that he has, not the amount of money that he makes. And so I really believe he's wired in the same way as a Tom Brady when it comes to that, that he will try to imitate Tom Brady. Take a little bit less. Their football team will be a lot better, and they're going to have a dynasty for the next decade.
What do you think, Swaggo?
I think they should sign Andy Dalton in case this contract dispute carries over in Kansas City. Here's the thing, G. You know I am so opposed to a guy taking less money, and I would tell Andy Dalton. I mean, yeah. Pat Mahomes, get as much as you can early in this contract. Because when you look at it, he's actually asking for a lesser amount of years. So that means you'll be able to go back to the table. And I know people would justify getting less money because you'll get back to the table faster. I'm on the opposite side of that. I feel like Patrick Mahomes is good enough to lift a team that may lack or be deficient in another spot. This is different. We had this same conversation about Dak. Dan Orlovsky with his great philosophy of you don't pay a good player great player money. Well, you damn sure better pay this great player money and pay him like he's the best quarterback that we've seen in this decade. So I would say Pat Mahomes, go in, get the money that you're asking for, lift the team, still win games. It ain't like Kansas City going broke, and it ain't like the cap ain't going up in years to come. So I'm good with Pat Mahomes going in there and getting 40 M's a year.
Can I throw a different way of looking at this into it and tell me what you think? Because I think sometimes we look at this, we use the wrong wording. When people say, should Patrick Mahomes take less money? I think a different way to look at it would be, should Patrick Mahomes invest some of the extraordinary amount of money he is going to make in his life into giving himself the best chance of winning championships? Let me say two things about it very quickly. Tom Brady in his career earned less money than Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, or Drew Brees. He also won more Super Bowls than all three of them combined. The example Patrick Mahomes should be looking at is Michael Jordan, whom we're talking about. Michael Jordan is worth $2 billion today. He made $90 million on the floor. Someone like Patrick Mahomes is in the unique situation where he will, the amount of money he makes off the field should dwarf any amount of money they can pay him. And the best way to get there is winning championships. I would view it, Dan, as an investment.
Yeah, Greeny, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think that when it comes to the quarterback position, you're always going to have opportunity to make money off the field. But the guy that sits at the top and is winning all the Super Bowls is the one who's going to make the most amount of money off the field. And I also, there's two different aspects of this that go in favor of taking less. One, the Chiefs draft really well. So you're going to continue to have good players around him. And two, Patrick Mahomes himself, in his own words, has come out and said, listen, I want to do this the right way that allows us to continue to have success. We've heard quarterbacks go, nope, I'm going to get as much as I can. I've earned it, all that. Patrick Mahomes has kind of taken a little bit of a different stance to that. And I think your point of the investing in his own success brings a lot of, that's a really good point. And so that's the invitation for Brady. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm sitting back and go, if I win a couple of Super Bowls in the next decade, I'm going to make five times as much off the field that I do on.
Really quick, Marcus. Go ahead.
Kansas City can figure it out. Go get your money, Mike. They'll figure it out.
We'll
go
see.
Get your money.
No other team has. Maybe Kansas City will figure it out, but Eli's team didn't, and Peyton's team didn't, and Breeze's team didn't. Brady's team did, and that's not a coincidence. As we continue, was the move the Cowboys made this weekend in signing Andy Dalton a message to Dak? Was it prudent planning, or was it maybe both? We'll talk about that as we continue, but first someone is going to try and go after Sneaky Hembo. It's Orlovsky this morning, and here we go. Who was the last quarterback drafted before the fourth round to start a game for the Dallas Cowboys? Well, it's a great question on a Monday, and the answer is next. Let's get up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Before we go to Sneaky Hembo, we have a developing story this morning, and I just saw it on Adam Schefter's Twitter feed. I'll read it verbatim. NFL plans to release its preseason and regular season schedule later this week, but one league source said Sunday he doesn't, quote, think any international games are coming this year. Those, of course, have been a huge part of the NFL schedule and their plans for potentially expanding internationally in the coming years. But it does not appear, and for obvious reasons due to the pandemic, that there will be any this season. We shall see. In the meantime, let us get back to Sneaky Hembo. Orlovsky, this one's for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is a brutally tough one. Who was the last quarterback drafted before the fourth round to start a game for the Cowboys?
Yeah, Greeny, I don't think it's brutally tough. I'll say Quincy Carter.
Okay.
I'm just joking, Greeny. I just want to see the most sensitive fan base in football. The Cowboys fans all go to Twitter and be like, Dan, you're so dumb. It's not Quincy Carter. It is Brandon Weeden, the ex-Cleveland
goodness.
Browns first rounder.
You got it right. I'm so glad I didn't say what I was planning to say, which is that I would buy you dinner anywhere you wanted, which I'll do anyway, but whatever. Brandon Weeden, yes. First round pick in 2012, started four games for the Cowboys in 14 and 15. Hey. I never would have thought you would get that one right. All right, let's talk about their fourth round starting quarterback, and that is Dak Prescott, who threw for a career high 4,900 yards last year, second in the league. He came up 1 yard shy of matching Tony Romo for the most in a single season in team history. But now, as you know, they've signed Andy Dalton, who was a second-round pick once upon a time, and he becomes, at minimum, a great backup option, finishes the Bengals' all-time leader in touchdowns and second in wins and passing yards. And despite not reaching a long-term deal with Prescott just yet, the Cowboys have committed 16% of their cap to the quarterback position, third highest in the league behind the Colts and the Rams. That number is based upon the cap, the franchise tag figure that currently is attached to Dak Prescott. It is worth pointing out again that while it feels very unlikely, until Dak signs the franchise tag, the Cowboys can rescind it. So that figures into this somewhere, somehow. Marcus Spears, again, you're a former Cowboy. You make your home there in Dallas right now, so you're kind of in the middle of this. When you saw the Dalton news, was Dak the first thing you thought of?
No question, G. I did not think about Andy Dalton 1 second. It went straight to Dak Prescott. And me and Shefty had it out maybe a couple weeks ago on NFL Live. Because, look, all of our reporters, everything that we've heard come out of Dallas is that it's just a matter of structure. It's number of years. At first, it was the money. Then we had questions about earlier in this contract situation. Do they think Dak Prescott is a franchise guy? Jerry comes out and says, Dak is our guy. He's a franchise guy. Everybody's still calm about they're going to get it done. And then they sign Andy Dalton, a 9-year starter in this league. Now, unless Andy Dalton said, hey, man, I want to go to Dallas and relax for 1 year. I want to take less money to go do it, because I'm pretty sure he would have had suitors out there all over the place. And I'm going to go and I'm going to just be behind Dak. I'm going to try to teach Dak all I know. I don't know one football player like that, G, especially a quarterback. Now, we didn't talk about Andy Dalton's market. We didn't talk about how many teams that were possibly in the run for Andy Dalton. But we all three can agree there are a couple places we could think about where we think Andy Dalton could have went in and possibly been a starter. And Dallas sure in the hell wouldn't have been one of them.
Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, Greeny, I look at it like this. Let's say Andy Dalton hypothetically went to New England, right? If that happened, everybody would be going on television this morning and going, wow, the Patriots with Andy Dalton. Maybe now they're the AFC East favorites. Maybe Bill Belichick can get this team back to a Super Bowl with Andy Dalton. And we would be looking at Andy Dalton in a really positive light. Man, 5 straight years in the playoffs, and when his defense plays well, he wins a bunch of football games. In his last 4 years with competent teams, he's played good football. Andy Dalton can play. This is not a normal backup quarterback signing. I was a backup quarterback. I know what normal backup quarterback signings look like and feel like. There's no question about it. There is a massive upgrade starter to backup. That's not the case here. If Andy Dalton had to go and play this season with the Dallas Cowboys, he would throw for around 4,000 yards and 26 touchdowns, and they would be sniffing 9 or 10 wins. That offense is loaded. And so this is not a, we've got to make sure we frame Andy Dalton the right way, because he is still a very capable quarterback within this offense. And I'll go back to it. The Cowboys no longer have to fear July 15th in this franchise tag or long-term extension with Dak. They cannot move, Greeny. They don't have to move off their number now.
Everyone else already knows what Dan does not, because he can't see on the feedback from where he is sitting. But Jalen Rose has joined the conversation. And Jalen, we're going to talk about Last Dance.
Oh, let's go.
But the pained expressions on your face, Jalen, make me dying to hear what it is you want to contribute to this.
Good morning to you, intelligent, handsome gentlemen. I have to make sure I point out something to my good friend Dan that he forgot about. So many years of playing quarterback in the NFL that actually the most important position on a team could be backup quarterback. Do I have to tell you that? Andy Dalton isn't a threat to Dak. Now, if you go sign Cam Newton, now that become a threat. Andy Dalton, not a threat. Let me just tell you what a lot of squads around the league did to improve their quarterback room, Mr. Orlowski. Saints added Jameis. I don't know how Jameis got $1 million and Dalton get up to $7 million, but that's another subject for another day. Packers add Love. Eagles add Jalen. A couple in both rounds, as a matter of fact. Dallas adds Dalton. And my Detroit Lions had a chance to add Tua. We had a chance. We had a chance, Green. We had a chance to add Tua.
Still there.
But we ain't do it. So go ahead, Dan.
All roads always lead back to Detroit.
Jalen, this is not a threat to Dak thing. I'm not saying that. It is obvious to me that Andy Dalton is the backup quarterback in Dallas. But this isn't Jameis in New Orleans because the Cowboys don't have a Hall of Famer as their starter making one more run. The Saints do. Also, it's for $1 million. The Packers drafted a guy that they think is their future. The Eagles took a guy in the second round because it's justified because of the lack of health that their starter has shown. But what I'm saying is the Cowboys don't have to fear Dak going, I'm going to sit out. I'm not going to sign the deal, because then the Cowboys can go, all right, we got a guy that we feel confident in with the team that we have around us that we can go win football games with. The Cowboys have gained the power back. That's the point, Jalen.
I got to ask Marcus a question. Big Swagoo, you and I both know.
Yes.
When you look left in the locker room and you look right in the locker room and then you look behind center, the players are going to feel a lot different seeing Andy Dalton versus Dak Prescott. Emotionally and physically, especially when he getting more money than Dak.
Jay,
the players in the locker room ain't going to go for that.
Jay, you're not wrong. You're not wrong about the feeling, Jay. But Dan is right, bro. This is not a normal backup situation. And that's what I'm saying when I saw the thing signed. Think about this, Jalen. Andy Dalton, for all intents and purposes, is still in his prime. He is not a normal, conventional guy that you would bring in to back up the quarterback.
Why is that so funny, Jalen?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I ain't never played in the NFL, but I play a lot of John Madden, and I watch as much football as can possibly be consumed on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday for the past 47 years. Let me tell y'all something. Andy Dalton in his prime? Can't hold a candle at Dak.
Yes.
Okay.
He was in his prime with Cincinnati too, right?
And they made the playoffs four straight
years.
Let me leave this here for a second because we're bringing Jalen into the conversation to talk about Last Dance, and we have thus far managed to do none of that at all. So I'm going to take a short break. I'm going to come back, and we're actually going to do what we were intending to do, which is talk about Michael Jordan last night and Charles Barkley last night. Jordan beat Charles and the Suns for the NBA title in 93. Jalen's going to talk about it next. Barkley's going to talk about it live with us in our next hour. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Sports will be back.
And our favorite stars will make us cheer again.
But for now, we're all rooting for a different kind of hero.
And doing our part
to make a difference.
Keeping our distance.
And protecting the most vulnerable.
Let's embody the best parts of sports.
Teamwork. Sacrifice.
Resilience. One goal. Together.
We will get Jalen back in a moment, but this is a story we've been following closely, and the day is almost here. I think this is very important. We're less than 24 hours from opening day of the Korean Baseball Organization. They're set to begin a full regular season tomorrow, playing with no fans. The KBO had been previously scheduled to begin on March 28th. Here we are the first week of May, and they're going to play. Here's our baseball insider, Jeff Passan, who's been covering this closely. Jeff, what will opening day look like tomorrow in the KBO?
Granny, you're not going to see some things that you're used to, like ball players spitting or like high fives. And you're going to see umpires wearing masks and gloves. But by and large, it's going to be baseball as we know it. There are going to be singles, there are going to be doubles, there are going to be strikeouts. Because it's Korea, there are going to be tremendous, wonderful bat flips. And more than anything, there's going to be baseball. And I don't know if this is a light at the end of the tunnel, because things have gone so differently in Korea. You know, they are lower than 10 coronavirus cases per day right now. But the fact that they're playing it all, I think, gives us hope here that we are going to see baseball at some point this year.
Yeah, what specifically do we know that baseball is watching there and paying close attention to inform what may happen when they are ready to come back here?
I think they're looking at a few things. Number one, what protocols do the KBO have in place? For example, when you're a player or an employee and you go into a stadium there, you are getting your temperature taken. And they've been doing that for weeks now. I spoke with one team, and it's interesting. You know, we talk about testing, testing, testing. At least one team in the KBO right now is not regularly testing. They're looking for symptoms, whether it's a temperature, whether it's a cough or something like that. And if something comes up, they will test a player. It's important to note, if a player does test positive, or if any team employee, Greeny, tests positive, then the KBO elders are going to get together, the people who run the league, and say, do we need to shut this down? And they have proposed a three-week shutdown of the league. Now, would they do that? We don't know necessarily, but that is at least on the table for the KBO.
Dan Straley is a former major leaguer. He pitches over there. He was on with us a few weeks ago. He's going to join us tomorrow morning after his team's opener. Tell us what that experience was like. And obviously, Jeff will continue to lean on you. Thank you, my man. Jeff Passan with the latest. As baseball is coming back tomorrow on the other side of the world. Meanwhile, tomorrow night on ESPN, our look back at baseball's greatest games continues with Game 4 of the 04 ALCS. It's Dave Roberts. It's Big Poppy. They rally the Red Sox to start their monumental comeback against the Yankees. That's tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, let's get back to last night's action. You saw episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance. It was another remarkable night of television and insight. You saw Michael Jordan's teams winning the 92 and 93 championships, that one there against Portland, and then beating the Charles Barkley-led Phoenix Suns in 93. Barkley that year was the MVP. There was a lot of really interesting stuff, including what you're seeing here, some moments of great introspection from Michael when he talked about just how difficult things were with all of the pressure that existed in his life and all of the attention that he got. Jalen, again, you were around for so much of that. What was your number one takeaway from the shows last night?
My number one takeaway, Greeny, is that we lost the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant way too soon. Just think about it, as a 19-year-old playing in Madison Square Garden against your childhood idol, and you're not even a starter on the Los Angeles Lakers. And being in that game, understanding the magnitude of what was happening, almost like the passing of a torch in a lot of way. For him to embrace those moments and continue to excel under the pressure of not only being a Los Angeles Laker and wanting to be the all-time greatest player to do it, but to gain a relationship with Michael Jordan where he became like a big brother to you and you learned so much from him, to the point where you would say it disappointed you when people came up to you and compared the two, because you acknowledge you wouldn't be who you were without his influence.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was the first takeaway that I had this morning as well. And one of the things is it all, of course, looks and feels and sounds so different to hear it now that Kobe is no longer with us. But what's interesting to me is, for all of the things to be said about Kobe Bryant that have been since his passing, it's easy to understand. People will say things like that at times like these. But Kobe, of course, was saying all of that before anyone knew this was going to be the outcome here. So there was Kobe Bryant telling the world, don't tell me how great I was, because there was no Kobe Bryant if not for Michael Jordan. And that seems so different from the way I would have expected him to talk about this. I can't explain. I don't know what I could have told you I would have expected Kobe to say, but that wasn't what I would have expected him to say.
Well, he always paid homage to the game and to greatness, and he understood that Michael Jordan was the original, but he felt like amongst his peers, he could be the remix. And he came as close to any player that's going to mimic Michael Jordan. And I'm talking about the quickness, the explosion, the flair of the dramatic, the dominance, the killer instinct, the ability to dominate on both ends of the floor, seizing the moment, being clutch, having a killer mentality. Like, all of these things that Michael Jordan embody, and you see it play out in his life in a lot of different ways. You see it play out gambling, playing cards. You see it play out playing golf. You saw him have a burnout factor where he talked about not enjoying the game. He left the game after his first three-peat, Greeny, for 2 years, played baseball, did another three-peat, talked about being burnt out, and then returned to the game to play for the Wizards again. Mm-hmm. How about that for a guy who accomplished so very much, but yet is so driven by the game of basketball? Kobe Bryant was the exact same way.
Can I ask you a question just because it feels like a fun thing to talk about this morning? Because anytime we have a conversation that involves Kobe now, obviously it's still too soon that it doesn't still hurt. But you played against Michael Jordan in his final championship season in the playoffs, that legendary seven-game series against Indiana. And then a couple of years later, you played against Kobe when they won their first championship in the finals against the Lakers. Tell me the difference between trying to play against those two guys. What was it like on the floor with Michael? What was it like on the floor with Kobe? What was similar and what was different?
Well, there are a lot of similarities. Usually great perimeter players at the time would dominate what we call the boxes and the elbows. That 12 to 15 foot area where they could do a jab step, keep a live dribble, either get to the basket and dunk on you and or do a post move and score. Now that's facing and or back to the basket. And both of these guys had terrific first steps and could play through contact because they were both so very strong. So for Michael Jordan, once he got to his pet moves later in his career, those were just go-to automatic, you know, press and play, and he would knock him down. For Kobe Bryant, he was still trying to establish himself because Shaq was the best player at that time. He was the person that won Finals MVP the first 3 years. So Shaq was the first 46 minutes, as we used to say, and then they turned it over to Kobe the last 2 minutes. And his coming out party, Greeny, from the air balls he had in Utah, from the time that we talked about in the All-Star game with Michael Jordan, was in our Pacers series at Indiana when Shaq fouled out. I think it was game 4 or 5. And then all of a sudden, Kobe had his chance to take over. And they were running a triangle, which morphed into the Bermuda Triangle, as we used to call it, because Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant were so great offensively. And I remember making a couple of shots looking over at the sideline, like, get down or lay down, I got this, pushing his hands to the floor. And we've seen so many players, including LeBron James, do the very, very same thing when they made a great play on the floor.
And I guess I would just sort of wrap this part of the conversation by saying when we heard Michael Jordan at the memorial service for Kobe on February 24th, talking about how he viewed Kobe as his little brother, there was something very special about hearing Kobe last night saying, Michael was my big brother. There was something about that symmetry that I said it this morning. If that didn't hit you directly in the heart, then you just haven't been paying attention.
Absolutely. That's very well said. And, you know, life is precious. And I always talk about the score of the game and the game of life. And you saw Michael Jordan, via all of his greatness and people wanting to be like Mike, he was burnt out emotionally, psychologically, that it caused him to walk away from the game he loved multiple times. And both of those guys did so very much for the legacy of the NBA, and we're so very grateful to have their influence that has touched so many people.
All right, Jalen, stay close by. You're going to come back a little later this morning when Charles Barkley will join us on the program in our second hour. Meanwhile, time now for a motorsports update. It's brought to you by Mother's Polish. And Sunday, we had the F1 Esports Virtual Grand Prix, a race around the virtual version of Brazil's Interlagos circuit, where Charles Leclerc was going for his third straight win. It was a thrilling back-and-forth race where both Leclerc and Alexander Albon swapped the lead several times. And in the end, it was Albon who would get the last pass and hold on to get the win. Leclerc would finish third, pardon me, after getting a penalty. Coming up after Get Up this morning, it'll be First Take as usual. That'll be followed by SportsCenter and then NFL Live at 3 Eastern. It's Rachel Nichols and The Jump. SportsCenter is at 5 and the PTI guys join that show later. And we recap the day as always. SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt at 11 Eastern. Busy day here on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up, the Cowboys made a deal with a quarterback this weekend and it wasn't Dak Prescott. Are they playing with fire? Stephen A. Smith weighs in next.